I'm Rachel, the creative director for Ram Dass's Love Serve Remember Foundation, and I'd like to welcome you to our Inner Academy, a virtual Dharma hall where our family of wisdom teachers will help you navigate your daily life by bringing ancient wisdom into a modern context. With over 200 hours of audio and video teachings, meditations, and practices from teachers like Ram Dass, Krishna Dass, Sharon Salzberg, Jack Kornfield, Roshi Joan Halifax, Joseph Goldstein, and many more, the Inner Academy is your core resource for finding balance, presence, and navigating the ups and downs of your daily life. The Inner Academy has guidance for every step of your journey. Choose from an annual or monthly membership and gain access to past and future courses, retreat replays, virtual community, and much more. If you've been familiar with Love Serve Remember Foundation for a while, you'll know that most of our offerings are given freely or on a sliding scale basis. So when you subscribe to the Inner Academy, you're paying it forward and bolstering our ability to continue creating accessible offerings for all in the future, as Ram Dass wished for us to do. Be here now and start your journey with Ram Dass's Inner Academy today. For more, visit ramdass.org/innerAcademy.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I believe that listening is very important. I every so often just check up on people, make sure they know you care. Because even if you have no resentment towards someone, you have no issue with them, you do care about them, you're just not good at showing it. It's pretty damaging in the long run, because if there's no small little efforts to make a big effort, which is the relationship ultimately, then you can't really, you know, go anywhere. Like, it won't be stable, because if you can't put effort into the smallest things like listening, it kind of shows someone something about you, even if it's not your intent.
Yeah. Hi everyone, it's Raghu back with Mind Rolling, and I'm doing an intro, which I don't do a lot of, but I thought that this required a little bit of a description of what this podcast is. Particularly, it is with Zoe Marcus, who happens to be my granddaughter, who has been on Mind Rolling over the last several years, actually, and she's now 12 years old, and I am always really interested to see how next generation is reacting to all of the untoward kinds of events that we are living through, from the pandemic to the war in Ukraine to the environmental degradation, and particularly to the divide. We really talked about the divide between in this country that is going on, that is very, very severe, between people who have ideas about how our society should be run, and both sides are fairly intractable, and there is another level to it that we did discuss, and it's amazing to get her feedback for such a thing, because basically there's real hope. There's real hope when you hear what it is that, how she responds to this, and she's very well spoken, particularly for a 12-year-old going on 13. And I, yeah, there's real hope with the kind of the well thought out and involvement that such a young person has, involvement meaning she is aware of all of what is going on, the intractability of the divide, the results of the pandemic being related to the environmental degradation, the haves and the have-nots, and of course the us being involved in us meaning people of this world having an event like this Ukraine war with Russia going on. So, in fact, there was one thing I do want to mention, because I read a little passage from this book that I got, The Psychology of Stupidity. And those of you who listen to Mind Rolling know I refer to it, I don't use the word stupidity, I use the word wrong thinking a lot. And that includes all of us, including myself. And so this particular book, I read a little passage from it, which seems dead on in terms of what's going on in our world. Yet it has a negative kind of feel to it, just the way it's sort of an attack on people who may not have enough education about different subjects and so on, which, you know, is true. And I just wanted to get her reaction, Zoe's reaction to it. And I want to say at the same time, Ram Dass, talk about him. He would not be down with any kind of negative projection or cynicism. And I find, like, we used to have this funny dialogue. I tried to get him to watch Larry David, you know, so he'd watch a little and go, I can't watch this. This guy is just absolutely a negative, cynical guy, which, of course, you know, is the fun of the show. And I found how I related with it and kind of loved it. And, yeah, that's another example of this from Ram Dass. Was he used to say, when he'd have dark thoughts, I'm going to love my thoughts to death. And then after a while, a year or so, he said, I'm not using that anymore. That's a negative way for me to look to transform the stuff that still needs to be transformed. I'm just going to say, I love my thoughts. In other words, he was getting to a place where, well, he had way been in the place, but the idea is making a little bit of friends with some of the dark stuff that goes on in our heads and expressed through our personalities. So I just wanted to mention that in relation to give a little bit of background around me quoting from this particular book, which is some kind of professor at a university. So, but it still has that little bit of a negative sinister and a little bit of cynicism. That's really, a thing that we have to be aware of. And I am very aware of it in myself. It's something I do work with. I just want to also bring up here's an antidote for that kind of dark outlook. And it's this book that it's called Whisper in the Heart, and it was done by Parvati Marcus. This is all a family podcast today, right? But it's a tremendous book that really tells people's stories of how they encountered Neem Karoli Baba. It's Whisper in the Heart, the ongoing presence of Neem Karoli Baba. And these stories are just extraordinary and amazing, and are certainly part of this legacy that we have been living with for the last, 50 years, just about, if not more. So that's available now also as an ebook by October 1st. If you're this podcast, it'll be a week away from that or something. And is well worth an investment. You can also go to ramdass.org/shop or Amazon or Barnes & Noble, and you can get this book. It's got here, do I have it? I have it somewhere. I want to show the cover of the book. It went away. Anyhow, you can see I'm really prepared, right? Bottom line is, check it out. And this is Mind Rolling on Be Here Now Network. And please enjoy. Hi, everybody. It's Raghu back with Mind Rolling and back with Zoe Marcus. Welcome, Zoe. Zoe has been here a couple of times in the past years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Happy to have you here because I really, truly, even though you're family, I truly honor the perspective that you have shared over the years about what is going on in our world. And yes, it's you have a firm grip on the reality of things, I believe. Now, I'm biased, but, you know, what are you going to do? Zoe, first of all, how are you doing okay right now?
Mm-hmm. I'm doing good.
Yeah?
Yeah. I just came back from school a couple hours ago.
Mm. Zoe's going to be 13 in a few months. And so it's marking a whole era, going into a different era of teenagehood. And we're all in quite unusual circumstances, all of us. And it spills into everyone's lives, your life, my, you know, I'm, of course, lived many decades. You're just starting out. But here we are. And I have had, and one of the main reasons why I love to talk to you is to just share, of course, the perspective that I mentioned before, but also for me, I'm concerned. I'm hoping you next gen are going to have some real answers to some of these issues, which are really quite severe. So since we talked, it's been a while since we talked. I think it might even be a couple of years, right? Is it possible? Maybe.
Maybe like a year and a half. I think the last time was November 2020, maybe.
Jesus, you got that kind of memory. Holy God. So we had talked about the pandemic. It's still, it's abating now. It's slowing down, apparently. Of course, I'm just getting over it myself. You've had it. And, we must mention this new incredible saying that a sister of Zoe came up with. Her name is Willow. Because what happened was, so Zoe got it. Her big sister, Dylan, got it, got COVID. But Willow never got it for months and months and months. And I said to her one day, how are you managing not to get COVID? And she said, I don't know, I'm just living my life. She said it like that. So now we have a bumper sticker. I'm just living my life. Meanwhile, she got it and I got it after her. Oh, boy. So we did talk a little bit about that, I know. But one thing that hadn't happened that's a gigantic event, and it'll be a gigantic historical event, obviously, which is the war in the Ukraine. How do you relate with the fact that there's actually, like from when I was born, you know, after the war, the Second World War, there was this same sort of warfare between humans is happening at this stage of the game of hopefully thinking that we're more enlightened than that? And what's your impression of that whole thing?
I think that, well, it seems like every generation has their own war, like, that's happened in their time, like, Generation X had the Vietnam War. It's like there's always some group of people that aren't satisfied, that aren't happy. And there's always sort of this outlook for more and like to be more than others. Like war wouldn't happen if humans didn't have this superiority complex above one another, thinking that they have to be better. They are better. So I think it all just comes down to being like content in what you have and not being part of like a corrupt government that thinks that they need to overtake everything and need to just be the best or conquer everything.
Mm. Well, it's difficult. If you were living in Russia, of course, this is what we're talking about. You were a citizen living in Russia, which has a draconian, very dark underbelly in terms of controlling the citizens. So many really untoward things and deaths have happened as a result of it. And you have basically a dictator who's firmly in power. It's hard if you're a citizen. You'd be in fear many of, mm-hmm. Of your life. And many people have protested. And a famous one, what's his name, Navalny? I'm not quite sure. He's in a gulag in Russia. And, they just put you away. So it's very difficult. I think going back to the primary reason of that you're speaking actually to the divide. We have a divide over here where it's just tremendous self-interest, right? Each party thinks that they, through their self-interest and through righteousness, aggrievement, where you feel like somebody's done stuff to you, then there is the perfect way to increase the divide, and that's what's happening. And of course, in Europe, in this war, it's emblemized by people who are holding on to power out of certainly greed and as you put it, feeling like they are superior. So what now, here's the big question. What are the things, from your point of view, what are the sort of things that can close that divide?
I think it all comes down to, well, like Russia, for example, it's like very focused. There's a leader that is clearly in all control and has almost no power to the citizens. And it's like it's almost like hopeless, not hopeless, but it's almost like it's this endless cycle of if you're a citizen, you want something, oh, you can't because you have this all in powerful being above you. So you can't really do anything to make a change almost. But I think it's all up to their leader to say, obviously I have no expectation of him to have any self-awareness and take a step down, but that it seems like to be just self-aware and think, am I really doing this for everyone? Am I leading the biggest country in the world by landmass? Am I really leading them well? Am I doing this for them? Am I doing this for myself? Because no one will ever be content if they don't know how what they're doing is affecting others. Because I agree so much with ignorance is bliss. Because if you don't know what you're doing is wrong, or you do know what you're doing is wrong and you just choose not to do anything about it because everything's beneficial to you. Mm. Like nothing will ever change. Nothing will ever change if no one's self-aware in what they're doing and realize that what they're doing is not good for the well-being of others. So we just kind of all, everyone needs to take a moment and think to themselves, are the choices I'm making good for others, or are they just benefiting me?
Yeah. Yeah. It of course reminds me of Ram Dass when you talk about some of these leaders in this particular case, of course, the we're talking about Putin. If they had any way in which to become more self-aware, in terms, certainly the bottom line, the harm that's being caused. And of course, and you said, but I don't really expect him to change.
Yeah.
Right. But you know what? What reminded me is Ram Dass. He would put a picture of like a Trump, you know, this is a Trump kind of being that is not have any self-awareness. And he would put it on his altar. And I'd say, well, okay, what are you doing? Well, I'm recognizing the soul behind the guy that's doing all these bad actions. And that's just, you know, gee, tough incarnation, this life that you are have to go through and create this really difficult karma, to say the least. And so he would, and then he would say, I think he had a feeling like in the case, because we were talking about Trump, that Trump, there was potential redemption that he, possibly in the presence of somebody who was not living in fear of this kind of polarity, and had that kind of just completely relaxed in the moment being that it would rub off. He had that, he was like very positive about the fact that there isn't, every human is redeemable somehow. Mm-hmm. Do you believe that?
I think to an extent that everyone has a chance to be better. Definitely for others, some it's like a lot more to do to make that happen, you know. But sometimes it's as simple as like what I see a lot by like my peers and who surrounds me is just like being naive and being ignorant, I guess, towards certain things. It's like, I know you could be such a better person. I know this, but a lot of it is taught, such as like when you see a 12-year-old being racist, obviously they didn't come up with that themselves. They've been taught that. So there's clearly someone under there who can be, they can unlearn this and they can grow from that and, you know, make their own mind up about certain things, because no one comes into the world with hatred. It's all almost always taught. Even if you form your own hatred towards someone or judgment, you could see your parents maybe like talking bad or forming hatred towards someone, and you see that and you think, oh, well, this is what people do. Or you say, you see them like just being like making racist comments and thinking, oh, well, this is just how people act. This must be the truth. So why don't I go spread this to everyone else? So I think it's people like that are the kids of those people are, in my opinion, redeemable. I think that it takes a lot of self-realization and independence, you know, away from your parents.
Independent thinking.
Yeah. To you know, sort of recollect your thoughts and like make your own opinions. But I think with people who are over the age of like 25, you know, like your brain's fully developed, you've kind of been on your own, forced to make your own thoughts, it's sort of a lot harder, because if you've thought one way for the whole time, I can't just make this whole, it could be the best paragraph in the world, it could be the best, it could be a 10-minute speech, it could be amazing, perfect points, everything, that won't change their mind. If they've thought that way for their whole life, I can't say anything to change their mind. And I also think that on the other side, there's an issue where some people think that they are this powerful being that can change people's like thoughts towards things. And it's
ideologies.
Yeah, like ideologies towards things, because it's sort of like I know they have good intentions. Everyone who's making the 10-minute long speeches towards these people, they always have good intentions, and I'm not taking that away from them, but there has to be some sort of like awareness towards the fact that if someone's thought some way for 10 years, you can't say anything to change that. You have to sort of unlearn it over time, very slowly, and then relearn a different way, very slowly. So I think we sort of have to let other human beings be independent and do things on their own times, and be aware that if someone says something wrong, we can't jumpstart the conclusion that they are inherently a bad person.
Yeah.
We sort of have to think like of where they've come from. Why would they think this? How long have they thought this? Because some people just aren't as privileged to think differently in all honesty.
Good point. Very good, Joey. Do you think that... I mean, one thing that we talk about, that I talk about on podcasts a lot with the different teachers that come, and one very, I think, important thing that comes along in relation to how do we deal with this divide of people is listening, being able to be a good listener. You know, we are so distracted. I mean, do you ever see, you know, people with, you're talking to somebody and maybe there's some food and you're doing, yeah, sure, yeah. And you're looking at your phone. We all do this, right? Well, you don't do it because you don't have a phone yet. See, but you're going to have one and you're going to have to deal with it. But being able to stop and pay attention to somebody. There's this great writer, and I quote this a lot, named Simone Weil, French writer, philosopher. And she said, the greatest gift that you can give to anybody of generosity is simply paying attention and listening to them, you know? And... are you familiar with this syndrome? I've done it. I've been distracted, you know, or ADD, the whole nine yards. What listening? What do you think?
I definitely agree. If I'm trying to say something, if someone can as simply just show that they care and that they're listening, that will go a very long way. Because I think little actions, just like how little words make up big words, I think little actions make up bigger actions in the long run. I think if someone can show over time to me that they actually care to listen, that really shows that they care about a relationship that, or like care that what they're putting into this. So I believe that listening is very important. I think that checking up on people just once in a while is very important. You don't have to every day be like, oh, how was, like, it doesn't have to be like that. You can just maybe every so often just check up on people, make sure they know you care. Because even if you have no resentment towards someone, you have no issue with them, you do care about them, you're just not good at showing it, it's pretty damaging in the long run. Because if there's no small little efforts to make a big effort, which is the relationship ultimately, then you can't really, you know, go anywhere. Like, it won't be stable, because if you can't put effort into the smallest things like listening, it kind of shows someone something about you, even if it's not your intent.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I like the little things that count. Yeah, you don't have to think you can do a huge, huge act. But that reminds me, of course, of what we're in terms of the environment and the degradation that's going on, which has got to be the scariest part of the whole deal for you, your generation, is to think about this. And what are we looking at, you know, in the future? And I think the doing little things really applies. It applies everywhere. But environmentally, being able to make a contribution, which is, there's so many different things, tiny things that you can do, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's simple as putting your trash in the recycling, you know, like I think we can always, like, the environment is almost the only thing. Like, if all goes wrong, we have this earth. So, you know, we better protect it. Like, one time in science last semester, everyone took this quiz where they filled out questions, and they were pretty simple questions like, do you bring your own bags to grocery stores, or do you actually, you know, do recycling? And
really,
most kids, and it would grade you by saying how many Earths, if everyone lived like you, how many Earths would it take to sustain that forever? And
wow.
And most people got over 3, which was pretty insane if you think about it. I think I got 1.8.
By virtue of just responding to these questions, and they had a formula that dictated how many Earths you would need to sustain. Wow.
And it wasn't even accounting for like wildfires or bad weather or global warming. It was simply these tiny little things that make no difference in your day to put some effort into, how much they can change. You need 1 Earth to 2, you know?
Wow. That's insane. Unbelievable. Wow. Hey, you know, I want to read something. This is a mixed bag what I'm going to read, because somebody sent me this book. It's called The Psychology of Stupidity. It's so it's like rough in a way, you know, it's not kind. Like I was reading through it, and I was thinking about Ram Dass and how he even said, you know, when he has dark thoughts, he used to say, I love them to death. These, you know, whatever crazy thoughts that we all have. And then later he said, I can't say that. It's too violent. It's not kind to myself. So he'd say, I love my thoughts. I love my thoughts. So you can get, instead of running away from them, just embrace them, was the idea of what that is. So there's a giant asterisk, and I could only do this with Zoe because she won't laugh at me, I hope. Okay. So please, everybody, take note that, as I say, I am not in agreement with the tone here. But there are things in it that make a lot of sense. Here we go. And this is from, and this man is a neuropsychologist and research at the University of Fribourg, maybe Belgium, not sure. Are we drowning in stupidity now more than ever? When you look at certain contemporary developments, you can legitimately ask the question. These days, seemingly educated people who are entirely capable of informing themselves if they wanted to, reject scientific recommendations on vaccination and climate, spout far-fetched conspiracy theories, vote happily for morons, and support stupid initiatives, become outraged over meaningless nonsense, incessantly embrace frivolous whims, and some even decide that, as far as they're concerned, the earth is flat, no matter what people say. Against a background of diplomatic tension, terrorism, and unending wars, the methodical destruction of the environment and an economy that only benefits a handful of individuals who give no signs of being particularly clever. Our era seems entirely dedicated to the triumph of stupidity. There's a lot of truth in there, even though it's a little bit nasty, right?
Mm-hmm. For sure. I think definitely there's always intent to everything you do, even tiny little things. And sometimes I feel like I can never know why people do and say the things, like, with all the science in the world we have, they still say stuff like the earth is flat. And I don't know why they're saying it. They live much happier of a life if they move on and just agree with most people. I really think they're putting too much energy into something scientists have had solved for a good while now. Mm-hmm. And that goes for bigger things too. It's like vaccination. Like if you're still not vaccinated after, I don't know how long it's been, maybe almost like a year and a half since the vaccine came out. Mm. We clearly they've made two, three other more vaccines. There's clearly it's helpful and it's obviously not harming and there's obvious evidence. They wouldn't keep making vaccines if the first one didn't work, you know? So it's like, I think some people do things for no reason. Their intent, I don't know, but it just doesn't add up to me. And I don't know why people waste their energy on stuff that's so easy to agree with everyone else with.
Well, based on scientific evidence.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the real point. You know, as this, what I read was, again, it's not put in kind tones, shall we say. Mm-hmm. And I think you've been saying some of the same things all, you know, in this conversation about letting go of concepts and ideology that is the only thing that you've grown up with and you've learned it and how to unlearn it. So that to me is the hope and the promise. I think that's your vibe. Am I right about that?
Yes, yes.
Right. So that is what we have is the possibility of transformation. And we can't do it without being able to listen to everybody and pay real attention. That was my experience with that was with Ram Dass. I don't remember if I even told you, but when I first met him, he dropped everything. He didn't know me. I was a complete stranger. I knocked on the door. He opened the door and then just kind of was totally present. And what can I do for you? And yeah, there was no Richard Alpert, no Ram Dass, nothing. It was about me. And that gave me, you know, so much, I felt safe and trust and all of those kinds of things. And that's what we have in my mind to give to each other, really. Mm-hmm. It's just that kind of presence which allows us to feel safe. That would go a long way to bridging some of this divide, I think. Mm-hmm. You know the whole woke culture. What does the woke culture mean to you?
I think real wokeness is not shoving ideology in other people's faces. Mm. I think, like I said, it's helping people understand because you can't scare people away. You know, if your whole point is to bring people together with, you know, better views on everyone and kinder, more open views on everyone. You can't, you know, jump to conclusions. You can't just shove it in their face like, I'm telling you why this is better. Like, you sort of need to be a lot more kinder about it. And while I do agree with, like, most of all, like, pretty much all their, like, thoughts and like how they their beliefs, I think they're just not very good at telling other people how to believe it because it's becoming messy where people are because it's really just scared people away. Like they hear this and they're like, oh, that's a lot of information that takes a while to learn and I already know this and it's safe for me because I already know it. So I think people just need to be better at expressing why they think something or why they're spreading it.
What do you mean by how to believe it? Well, you said, you know, when things are people, I think you're saying people have difficulty really expressing the shall we say, a common truth or a scientific truth. Is that what you mean by finding a way for, you know, for them to believe?
Yeah.
Is by presenting real scientific evidence in the case of much of what we're talking about.
Yeah. I mean,
not in the case of somebody who is using power for their own self-interest. So, yeah, woke. So you were talking about wokeness. What wokeness is to you?
So I
mean, in a real way, right? Because it's one of those newfangled, ubiquitous, meaning a commonly used now by everyone, and now there's a flashback against it because it's elite. Is that's my understanding?
Yeah, it's sort of just become a bit more sort of. I think it's lost a bit of its meaning because it's become this thing for big media to follow where it's like, oh, you're part of this. You must be like an angel. Like more people are going to. So I think by that, it's sort of lost its meaning. I think it's better when it's kept to not something that needs to be like in big media. Well, obviously, the ideas should be represented and what they're saying should be shown in media. I just think that when they try too hard to be a part of woke culture, not the beliefs in it, I think that's where it sort of loses its meaning because then it's more like you sort of just want to be in this big popular group. You don't really care what they have to say.
Yeah, right. So here, look at this. That's my mind-rolling motto, one of my mottos, awoken awareness, okay? Oh, yeah, that's for those of you who weren't watching YouTube or aren't watching YouTube of this. But I go, it's a Buddhist concept, the awakening. The Buddha awoke from the illusion, basically, under the Bodhi tree, right?
Yeah.
Awareness is the methodology by which we can transform. Everything you're saying is to let go of much of this. That's polarizing right there. You know, it's hard to not do that, you know, because we are so attached to our own version of reality.
Yeah.
But so it's the ability to unlearn, that's what you were talking about, unlearn stuff, is the beginning of whatever has to happen for people to change because they've been brought up in very restricted environments one way or the other. And so the idea of even thinking about awareness and what does that mean, to me, the first thing that we're talking about, you know, and you can say, I'd love to hear what you think about it, is awareness of our self-motivation versus what potentially we could do for others. That's the very first use of what awareness can be to help change, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, like awareness of what you can do for others is definitely, because it's sometimes not even just not doing stuff for yourself, but it's sort of like, what else can I do for others? Sort of, how can I do like more, you know? Because sometimes I think we're either focused on nothing or ourselves. And I think we need to sort of expand because I think it's sort of a win-win if you're aware of others and helping others and doing things for others because it's rewarding to yourself as well. So I think that it's just a win-win situation and people should start taking that way instead of the easy way, which is to just do things for yourself.
Mm. Yeah. It's a lot of what we do take the easy out a lot, don't we? And it's something we're used to and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And I know one of the things that you've been doing for other people is cooking.
Yeah.
So he's the cook at home. That's amazing. And Zoe's completely vegetarian and cooks this wonderful food. Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. And you like doing it.
Yeah. I just made croissants on last weekend.
Oh, wow. That's really great. Oh, well, thank you for being here, Zoe. I always appreciate hanging out with you. And it's wonderful to see you because I don't get to see you that much because I had COVID. But now I'm recovered. I'm going to see you soon. And everybody out there, again, this is Mind Rolling on the Be Here Now Network. Go to BeHereNowNetwork.com and you can catch all kinds of incredible content around consciousness that hopefully gives some idea of what we can do to close the divide. That's kind of our theme, Zoe, of this podcast, how to close the divide. Huh?
Yeah.
Really good thoughts. So thank you again, and we shall see you next week on Mind Rolling.